Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Okay, great. Again, thanks to all of our agents for attending our sales meeting today. We're Monday morning, just a few minutes after 9 o'clock. And we're very fortunate today. We have, as our guest speaker, Gideon Bluestein. Gideon has been with us before. If you missed him the last time, then you have a chance to connect today and say hello to Gideon as we, if you didn't get him on the way in, make sure you catch him on the way out. Gideon's position is he is a member outreach coordinator for the Illinois Association of Realtors. And Gideon's had 4 years experience working with the association, and he has a lot of insights into the marketplace. From a background basis, Gideon, give us an idea as to the area that you cover and some of your roles with the association.
Yeah, absolutely. So before coming to the Illinois Realtors and working for you, I had a background in government affairs and advocacy. And my favorite part of that advocacy was always working with individuals and teams and groups to try to get people involved. Because there's strength in numbers. If you don't know that, hopefully you'll get involved after we talk today, and you'll see the power of that when we get involved in some of these issues. So working with the Illinois Realtors, I have two roles. So I'm here today in my capacity as a member outreach, but then the other role that I have is as a local government affairs director. So you might be thinking, what the heck does that mean? And I'll talk more in depth about that. There's three things I talk about. That's the third. But in short, it means that on behalf of Illinois Realtors, I advocate in a certain territory at the local, state, and federal level. And we've got local government affairs directors across the state so that when issues come up in your transactions, you have a point of contact who can help fight on your behalf and fight on the industry's behalf. At City Hall, in Springfield, at the federal level, to make sure that you can conduct your business.
That's great. Yeah. This is our second try to get Gideon in. We had him scheduled, you might recall, on our agenda, I believe, about 3 months ago. And when Gideon made the appointment with me, he said, there's just one thing that might pop up along the way, and it did. So give us an idea, Gideon, on where you're at on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So my son, my third child, was born almost exactly 3 months ago. So thank you for your flexibility. I'm also glad that there was a little bit of a delay because now he's finally sleeping through the night. Because if you'd have had me a month or two ago, I probably wouldn't have been making any sense. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great. From the perspective of making the trip in, we truly appreciate it coming in on a Monday morning.
Of course.
Gideon's territory, which we spoke about, he is basically responsible for the northern half of Illinois for the association, with the exception of the city of Chicago. So we are at kind of his northern tip here, right here, with our multiple offices. I guess we are in the city of Chicago, but our suburban addresses give us access to Gideon's expertise along the way. And Gideon lives in far southwest suburbs in Coal City, which is about halfway down towards Bloomington, Normal area, if you're familiar with that, off of 55. So we made the trip in this morning. So again, thoughts there on your trip in, and our accolades for joining us this morning. So let's take off, Gideon. You give us an idea as to some things that we should know about that are going on currently.
Absolutely. Well, I try to keep it packaged into three main topic areas. So when I go out to these offices, and you talked about the territory that I've got, for the member outreach territory, that's where I cover that giant territory and put a lot of miles on the car. There are about 500 offices with 10 or more agents that are in my target area. So the three things that I always like to package it into is member benefits, professional standards, and then government affairs and advocacy, as I had mentioned. The context that I've been setting recently, so this is just this year, it really popped out at me. The context that I've been setting recently has to do with something we heard from you, our members. And we survey our members every year, and over the last 2 years, a majority of the members said that they felt that the greatest threat to their business was the uncertainty in Illinois' economy. And so seeing that as a vast majority over the last 2 years, I thought, okay, well, I've got these audiences that I'm going out and speaking to, I should speak to those concerns. So the first thing I want to ask is, does that resonate with you in terms of, you know, are you concerned at all about the state of Illinois' economy, uncertainty? And I bet what you're hearing that from is from your friends, family, and most importantly, perhaps your clients, right? That sort of question that you get when they say, well, Illinois is really in the pits. I'm just going to pack up and leave Illinois. I'm done. And that's concerning to us, and I hope it's concerning to you, because if everybody leaves Illinois, right, where are our clients? So, you know, look, the main issue that I talk about when I do member benefits, professional standards, and government affairs and advocacy, my hope is that when you get that question or when you get that comment from friends, family, clients, well, Illinois sure stinks, don't you agree? You can have a substantive answer, as opposed to just, yeah, Illinois sure stinks, but what can you do, right? Because I mean, I've been in that situation where you're like, okay, well, what do I say? So what I'd like to do is, after I talk about these three things, hopefully what you'll walk away with is something of a bit more substantive answer, and something that can even prompt a conversation about, you know, maybe why that person should be a client. So maybe it can even be a business opportunity. So those three things: member benefits, professional standards, government affairs, and advocacy. The first piece I want to talk about is your member benefits. And I hand this out at meetings. It's our member benefits guide. I'll leave extras for the office for anybody who isn't able to attend in person. It's also available, so if you're watching this, it's also available right online at illinoisrealtors.org/member benefits. The favorite page of mine is actually the last page, because this is your cliff notes to the member benefits. And so within that context, right, of a majority of realtors are concerned about uncertainty in Illinois' economy, I want to point out just a couple of these. I don't want to go through every single one, but I want to point out a couple that could come in handy in terms of some of those questions that you might get. So the first one I want to point out is our housing stats. We have number 7 and 8. Illinois housing market forecast, and then 8 is the monthly housing market fast cast. We do this through a partnership with the University of Illinois. They have a special economic center that is dedicated specifically to housing. And why do I bring that up in terms of concerns about Illinois' economy? Because these are facts, right? If you have somebody coming up to you and saying, you know, Illinois stinks, you can say, well, you know, look, I totally understand where you're coming from, but let's take a look at what's going on in the housing market. And this will give you the tools you need to have a factual conversation about what's happening in Illinois with regards to housing. And it might be good, it might be bad, but you're the experts, and what you're good at is looking at the silver lining if it's bad, and also pointing out what the good opportunities are, right? The other one that I want to mention is, it's not on here because it's an NAR benefit, but it's RPR. Has anybody used RPR from the National Association? So RPR is a great tool. It's totally free and totally up to you, but you might even think about having an RPR representative come out for a session.
Okay.
To do a little bit of training. Here's the thing that I really love about RPR. They have local market economic reports. And it takes about 2 minutes. That sounds really complex, but it takes about 2 minutes. You do a couple of clicks, and you can isolate it out from zip code, county, municipality, so meaning like City of Chicago or Elmwood Park, right down to census block. And these economic reports are anywhere from 4 to 7 pages based on how much data is in there. And what's great about it is it gives a really nice little snapshot of that area and who's living there. What's their economic makeup? What are their spending habits? What are some of the commercial trends in that area? So what it can do is, again, provide you with some really easy to digest facts that you can work with that client when you get that question about, you know, Illinois' economy. The way to access those, you go to narrpr.com. So that's narrpr.com.
And for those that may not know, RPR stands for?
Realtor Property Resource.
Okay.
They have a cool tool in there too. It's a little bit off topic in terms of, you know, the concerns you hear from clients, but they have a really cool tool in there. If you work with investors, I think it's called like the back of the napkin investment calculator.
Okay.
And so it can look at a particular property and do a calculation forward for what the potential ROI is on that property. So yeah, you should check out narrpr.org. And they've got training modules online. I'm sorry, .com. Thank you for the catch. narrpr.com.
We are listening.
Yes, that's good. The last one I want to point out, just because dollar for dollar, it's a really good return for those dues dollars that you pay, is number 12. It's a complimentary Inman Select subscription. So if you don't already subscribe to Inman Select, this is a great way to get access to it totally free. Inman, I think, costs, the last time I checked, it was anywhere from $180 to $200 a year. And this is a daily email newsletter, but they have very substantive, solid coverage on technology trends, financial trends. So it really looks at the real estate industry and what's happening. And then they also have some nice consumer-oriented information. So really, really worthwhile publication that I encourage you to take advantage of. The way you access it is that little short link at the bottom. You type that into your internet browser, and it'll take you to a free subscription page. If typing all that in looks daunting to you, which it looks daunting to me, you can actually, like I said at the top, you can go to illinoisrealtors.org/member-benefits. And then there's a hyperlink to this right on that web page. So then you don't have to type it in. You can just do it right through the web page. If you have any questions about it, you can always email me and I can send it to you. Are there any questions about the member benefits before I go on to professional standards? Okay, so professional standards. Does anybody just want to throw out and, you know, feel free to just yell it out? Why do you think professional standards are important?
The integrity of the business.
You hit the nail on the head. Because that really ties it up. She said the integrity of the business. And what does that mean? That means integrity amongst ourselves and how we relate with our colleagues, but also how we relate with our consumers, right? Because realtors are leaders in the community. People are coming to you with their concerns and their complaints about property taxes, about Illinois' economy, because you're leaders, whether you know that or not. And so we want to remain in that position of leadership. And one of the ways we do that is by building consumer confidence. So at the state of Illinois, we've created two programs, State of Illinois Realtors State Association. We've created two programs that can help us maintain that strong community leadership through professional standards. The first one is our consumer helpline. And the consumer helpline exists really just as an opportunity. If a client has a complaint, a concern, a question, they can contact this helpline. They'll have a response within 4 hours from a volunteer. This is not legally binding advice. This is not an ethics panel. It's basically somebody who will listen and try to help answer their question or resolve the issue. One that I actually just got that I referred to the consumer helpline last week. It's from a friend of mine calling on behalf of a friend who wanted to break up with their realtor. Basically, they were upset with how the realtor was managing their business, and they wanted my advice on how to do that. And I know the realtor, I know the client. I was like, I am not going to, I work for you. I am not going to get involved in giving advice on that topic. But we have a consumer helpline that is there for that reason, to help understand why does that person want to sever that relationship. So it's there for those types of calls. It's there for more complex types of calls between realtors too. I'm sure always you want to go first to the broker owner, but you can contact them together. One of the common ones is just unresponsiveness. I'm not getting callbacks from this realtor. We've tried contacting the managing broker. We're not even getting callbacks from the managing broker. It's like before you want to escalate it to an ethics panel. The second one that we have is the ethics citation program. This one is if you have proof of an ethics violation, you can submit that online. It can be done anonymously, and it will result in a citation for certain aspects of the ethics code. Does anybody want to guess what the number one citation is that's being issued right now? Just shout it out. I know you're all thinking of them because you see them. You got it. You know, usually, so it's the lockbox violation, giving out lockbox code, unauthorized access, and that's a steep fine. It's $1,000 for that violation. But does anybody want to guess why it's such a steep fine? Exactly. Security, safety, it's trespassing. I've had instances where people have told me that the seller, you know, has pressed charges. They've gone to the police and said, I'm pressing charges on this as a trespass. They've got the proof. Really serious. And if you have buyers or sellers that are in that situation where the law is getting involved, do you think that they're going to have a real high opinion of our industry? No. Probably not. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. The other one that I get a lot of calls about and emails about is marketing violations, specifically social media, where people are posting on Facebook and they're not a realtor, they're not citing the brokerage. And with that, it's really simple because you can just grab a screenshot and email it in, and that will result in an ethics citation. So really important. Again, it all goes back to that consumer confidence so we can maintain that position of leadership in our community. Are there any questions about the ethics programs, professional standards? No? All right. If you don't want to ask the question in front of everybody, I'll leave cards and you can email me. The last
piece. I have a question. Does it seem like there's been more or less over the last 4 years?
You know, it has trended up.
Okay.
The that could be due to a couple of reasons, though. It might just be that we're getting the word out about the program.
Okay.
Because they are relatively new programs. But they have trended up. Not in a vast way, but certainly I have seen an increase.
Okay. And the responsiveness in trying to get a resolution of the issue seems like it's been improved quite a bit once it goes to that level.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Okay. You definitely get people's attention. We've gotten some feedback where, well, why is it, you know, what the letter, the citation is, you know, it's so serious. And, but it should be, right? I mean, if you're breaking the ethics code in a serious way, it should be a serious communication. And so we do get that feedback. It is, people are taking it seriously.
Well, I'm sure we see it every day with other associates, other real estate agents and the like. So we are always are trying to put our best foot forward here. No one's perfect, but it's great to have a possibility of some release of tension, you know, out there.
Absolutely.
Before it goes to the next level. Ray, you had a question?
Isn't it an ethic violation if the broker owner tells your client that he undersold his building?
I don't know.
Your client. Yeah. He says, you undersell your building.
Huh. Like
he thinks it's a low price, in other words. And this is the broker owner that told the client.
Yeah.
It happens to be my client.
Talk to the client.
Directly
to
you. Both.
Oh, to you and the client.
Huh. I'm always.
Would that be an ethic violation?
So, as a policy, I'm always worried to, especially if I'm on camera, to weigh in if I don't know all the details of the situation.
But details are that you have a listing in this building that's 20,000 overpriced. Your sales quickly because it's priced right, and you're upset because for whatever reason. So he tells me and my client, why do we undersell the building, which really wasn't undersold, it was fair market value.
Here's what I want to suggest. Yeah. So one of the benefits that we have is membership. So that could be either a ombudsman or consumer helpline question, or we have the legal hotline,
sure.
Which that could be a quick email or a quick phone call into the legal hotline. They'd be able to answer the question specifically.
I don't think it's unethical. I mean,
do I think it sounds rude?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's unethical. So I would there. The legal hotline knows every in and out. We've got two attorneys who staff that amongst other duties, and they know every in and out of the ethics code and Illinois real estate law. So I'd encourage you, you know, contact them. Or if you want, I can contact them.
Everyone here knows this broker. I mean, I know this broker for 30 years, you know, and he probably does it all the time, right, Joni?
And we probably don't need to share that information right now, but as we are having this discussion on the legal hotline.
Very unethical, because I would never do it.
Sure.
Right. If we did have a legal issue that ever popped up, feel free, you know, at any point along the way to contact me, you know, as the managing broker for the company, and I'd be happy to follow up. I do have my background as an attorney. As you all know, I don't practice law these days, but I did practice for several years. And who are our two connections for the attorneys that are at legal?
Betsy Urbance and Jeff Baker.
Okay, I believe I've talked to Jeff at one time. I definitely have talked to Betsy a couple of times over the years, and she's been most helpful and responsive, usually within 24 hours, and usually has a complete grasp of exactly what's going on with the scenarios that you present. I'm sure that there's a lot of common questions that get asked along the way, but some of them are very nuanced too. So remember, our role as brokers and my role as a broker, whatever your background is, you know, you have a role to be that broker and that representative for the individual seller or buyer, staying within your role as a broker. But if it gets to the next level, and if you're ever asked to give any type of legal opinion, legal advice, and the like, then make sure you refer that information over to the appropriate attorney. And if we ever have an issue with another broker and something else comes that can't be handled by either of those attorneys, then get to me right away, and then we can always get a second opinion. It's always good to have a second opinion. Like many of these things, there are gray areas that are out there, and there are some areas that are completely defined. So that's something, that resource is out there for us. So we take advantage of it when we need it.
One of the new things, too, I'll mention, because we've been talking about this, one of the new things that Jeff Baker and Betsy Urbance have started just this year is if they can get a large group together. So I think their benchmark is 100 or more.
Okay.
They will do a roadshow. So they'll do a specific program on Illinois real estate law, the ethics code, and come to you. So that might be something if Weikert in Illinois, if each of the offices wanted to partner up, that's something to think about.
Yeah, we do have a couple of meetings each year, annual events, and so that's something certainly to put on the table for future options.
So I thought I'd mention.
That's great.
Nice idea. That's a good idea.
Oh.
I want part Weikert functions.
Yeah. Cool. So the last piece, government affairs and advocacy. This is arguably the most valuable return on investment from your real estate realtor dues that there is. And the reason is because we, as you're busy being your client's advocate and working tirelessly for your clients, we are your advocate as your association when the local, state, or federal government is seeking to do something that would hurt your business or hurt your clients. So I'll talk about just a couple of examples. There's a lot of issues that are popping right now at the local level. Has anybody here, just a quick nod of the head or show of hand, has anybody here worked with Mike Scobie or Jeff Marinette? So on the Chicago side of the border and Oak Park side of the border, I'm sorry, not the Chicago side of the border, Oak Park side of the border, Mike Scobie manages that territory as a government affairs director. And then on the to the west of here is Jeff Marinette. And so two issues that they've been, or more than two, one issue that Jeff's been working on in Elmwood Park is their vacant property registration. Is this something that you've run into, any problems? So one of the complaints that he was getting is that it's burdensome, and sometimes they'll basically hold, you know, it could be a house that's listed for sale, and it can get caught up in that vacant property registration problem. So they're actually working on repealing the vacant property registration, which is a good move because it removes costs, it removes barriers to people being able to sell their property. The other one that had come up is a proposal on exterior walls of single family homes. Has anybody heard about this?
No.
So what they were doing was basically saying that the exterior walls of a single family home on a rehab or new construction all had to be uniform, So, you know, in my mind, what I think about is, you know, if you've got a bungalow and then they want to put in an expansion, like a second story on the top, it would all have to be uniform. So the brick on the bottom would have to look exactly like the brick on the top, which it's, we typically oppose that because they're making an aesthetic decision for the homeowner. That doesn't make sense. There are a lot of, I'm sure you can think of them, there are a lot of very beautiful additions that are put on that have maybe shake shingle or, you know, nice cedar siding. Yeah, or vinyl. So why would the municipality come in this role and try to, you know, work with the aesthetics? So we oppose those. We're working on getting Elmwood Park to not do that. And then Oak Park, there's... they're looking at their single family home design guidelines overall. And so we've been trying to work with Oak Park because the guidelines that they've issued are really, really stringent. And I mean, as you know, Oak Park, a very historic area, but there's a right balance to strike. And so we're working with them to try to make sure that they don't do an overreach in terms of costliness, in terms of taking out the creativity that a homeowner can have with their property. So. Two important issues there. And then Chicago, I don't know if, I hope you've heard about this. Chicago is actually launching this huge movement to try and bring back rent control. Have you heard about this? So anyway, rent control is like economics 101. It doesn't work because what you do when you put a cap on that market, the costs are still going to go up. So what happens is you reduce rentals, you reduce the amount of available housing. And so the entire goal that proponents, that people are pushing for this have, is to have more affordable rental housing. What they're going to do is actually decrease the amount of rental housing that's available. So we are fighting very hard on this, both in Springfield and Chicago, to try to look for solutions that actually work as opposed to something that's just going to put an unfair burden on, you know, mom and pop landlords that are trying to recoup their costs as they see property taxes go up, as they see the expenses go up in maintaining their properties. So these are some of the issues at the local level that we're working on. At the state level, I mentioned rent control. The reason it's important at the state is because the state legislature actually banned rent control because it's such a bad idea. And what there is a movement in Springfield to do is actually bring back rent control and the ability of municipalities to institute that. The other thing we've really been fighting on, and this kind of gets back to those issues that come up from your clients, is we've been working on property tax reduction. How can we reduce property taxes in the state of Illinois? We've raised it as an issue in a couple of ways. We've supported, this was historic because we've never supported statewide property tax caps before, but in the last 2 years we have. Basically to say we need to hit the brakes and make sure that we're looking for comprehensive solutions before we let them continue to rise. And then the other aspect is letting voters have more of a say if there should be local government consolidations. So not Springfield saying you've got to abolish this local government, but saying voters in a given area, if they feel like they don't need a township highway department that manages 8 miles of roads, can get together and vote to dissolve that township highway department. So that's one of the things that we've been successful in pushing for in Springfield, is those local government consolidations. Illinois actually has more local governments than any other state in the United States.
Do you have any idea on how many total that we have?
I think it was 6,900. It was almost 7,000.
I know it's prohibitively higher than any other state that's out there.
Yes.
And of course, there's a lot of politics that's involved, you know, in that, and that's why we have representatives at the association that can analyze these things. As we're fighting the wars of the business on a day-to-day basis, sometimes you observe these things. On the mention that Gideon just had on rent controls, if you want a good reference article in it, it's just very timely, because yesterday's Tribune in the real estate section had a big story about the potential of rent control. So the reality is that there's talk about it, and that certain of the candidates are supporting that down the road. So in protection of the property owner that's there, then of course we all understand the words supply and demand. And by being in a position that you can control rents on it, that would cut down on numbers of individuals that might want to build, right? Because they have the specter that someone's going to control the rents. And ultimately, we need more supply. We need really more incentives to build more housing out there, not individuals that are going to, or scenarios that are going to subsidize and stop private investment to come into the state. So I think you guys are right on point on that one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to need your help, because what's interesting is it's not just a Chicago issue, because what you have is you have legislators in Chicago, you know, for good or for bad, the way legislation often works is, you know, some horse trading and some compromise. So you've got legislators from Chicago going to their colleagues in other parts of the state saying, you know, hey, this is what I'm experiencing in my district. I need your help. And they're, you know, helping, they're educating members across the state to try and support allowing rent control to come back. And it's also not limited to Chicago, because one of the bills, this just, I couldn't believe that this was introduced. One of the bills in Springfield would have set up rent control boards in every county in the state to set what the maximum price of rent could be in every county in the state, which is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. And I mean, if you look at New York, San Francisco, two of the highest rent places, you can see rent control clearly did not work. So very important issue. At the federal level, I want to make sure I touch on an issue that I'm sure you heard about over the last year, which was federal tax reform. Great comment was made about, I'll paraphrase, stay in your lane. I am not an accountant, so this is not tax advice, but it's stuff that that you should know as realtors. When we first started fighting on this issue of federal tax reform, there was talk, and the plan that was introduced eliminated the mortgage interest deduction, eliminated the state and local tax deduction, and eliminated like-kind exchanges. And where we ended up was we didn't get 100% of what we wanted, but we did preserve the mortgage interest deduction. They played with the maximum price a little bit. It went from $500,000 to $750,000. The state and local tax deduction was retained with a cap of $10,000. One of the things we're fighting for now is it's called the marriage penalty. So the $10,000 is per household. So if you have two incomes in that household that are both being income taxed at the state level, they don't get to claim both of that. They basically just get to claim the $10,000 cap. And then the last one is that we preserve 1031 like-kind exchanges, so those still will exist in the tax code. The last thing that was sort of a last Hail Mary issue in the last couple of weeks of federal tax reform was the concept of a 20% business income tax deduction. So this was something that was included initially, but just for sort of your bricks and mortar businesses. And what we fought for was getting it extended to sole proprietors, which encompasses the majority of realtors. And so what it is it's a 20% business income deduction. It was included. Talk to your accountant about it if it makes sense for you. But what that translates to is that if there were a hypothetical realtor that had $100,000 in business income in a year, they would only be declaring $80,000 of that business income. So that was a big victory to be able to bring back for our industry. And then the last federal issue I really have to mention, and I'm not usually an arm twister, but I'm going to twist arms on this one. It's flood insurance reform. You're probably a little sick of hearing about this because we've been hammering it. What has happened, so it's two issues. One is that they need to make sure that flood insurance reform doesn't lapse because of inaction from Congress. Because if flood insurance reform were to lapse, 44,000 transactions a month nationwide would not be able to go to closing. That's because they're in flood zones, but there'd be no flood insurance for the bank to say, okay, you've got flood insurance. So 44,000 a month. So the first piece is we've got to make sure it doesn't lapse, which the House last week voted on an extension of the existing program. The second part is that we've got to make sure that the U.S. Senate in Washington, D.C. reforms it, so fixes it. because the way it currently is, it's not, it needs to be fixed. It's too expensive. It makes some houses basically not have no value because the flood insurance costs more than a mortgage payment on the house. So we need to reform it, and that sits in the hands of the U.S. Senate. So right now, we've only got 18% of our members in Illinois that have responded to this call for action. So I want to ask you, please, please, today, respond to that call for action. As soon as this meeting is over, make sure you find that email, respond to the call for action. You can also go to realtorparty.realtor, and right on the main page there's going to be the call for action. If you do it twice, if you're not sure, you're not going to send a letter twice to your U.S. senator. It'll tell you it's already been completed. So please, please do that. Realtorparty.realtor. Please make sure you respond to that. We're like 823 away from getting to 20%, which is always our goal. So you can make a real dent on that this morning. Okay, let me wrap up. I probably went longer than I promised I would, and I apologize.
We're in good shape.
We haven't run out of digital space. We hope. So my big wrap-up, right? What did I start with? You're hearing concerns from your clients. That's being passed on to we're hearing concerns from you about Illinois' economy, right? That means higher, you know, I'm concerned about property taxes. I'm concerned about the business climate. So when you get those questions, do you feel like you've got some information at your fingertips that you can have an answer?
Yes.
Right. Excellent. And the answer really simply is I hear you. I understand and I have the same concerns. But I work with my association. We've got resources where we can talk about the facts of your situation. And I am involved with my association. I respond to calls for action. I'm fighting as a leader in the community to improve Illinois. And you can even say, well, you fight with me to improve Illinois. We have one that I didn't mention, but I'm going to mention it now. Number 11 on the back of the sheet, the Real Property Alliance. This is our consumer-facing advocacy page where you can invite your clients to get involved on some of these issues so that they have a way to help us fight for lower property taxes and fight for less regulation on real estate. So I encourage you to do that. The last thing is really just the way to be involved is to make sure you vote, act, invest. So vote in every election. Take action when we ask you. Maybe get on a government affairs committee with your local association. Then you'll be working alongside your association staff to help fight on these issues. And then the last piece is invest in the Realtors Political Action Committee. The reason we always ask, because I know sometimes people are like, I already pay my dues. Why are you asking for that 20 or that 30 or that 40 bucks? The reason we ask is because political action committees, it has to be a voluntary donation. So we can't just take your dues dollars and shift it towards political activity. It has to, you have to opt into that. So please consider investing in RPAC. It's one of the best tools we have to elect realtor-friendly candidates. So with that, any questions?
I'd like to just toss it back and again thank Gideon Bluestein for making the trip in today. I'd also like to talk about the dues situation. We pay dues, we're members, and many times when we're writing that check or we're having that debited from our account, mm-hmm. We're in a position that the agent base that's out there says, well, this is my cost. It costs this much to be a member and to be a realtor. I really think with today's presentation by Gideon, you can look at it really much more as an investment in your business, an investment on behalf of your future sellers and buyers so that you can keep them advised so that real estate stays a very strong investment for not only the near term, but also the long term and the foreseeable future, because many of us and many of our clients are tied into that long-term commitment to real estate, and we live it every day. So again, think of that along the way that today's, and I'm sure today's presentation opened up some some of your eyes provided you with some new information, and I think that obviously shows you that your dollars are being very, very well spent, the ones that you are doing with your annual investment into your real estate dues for not only the National Association, but our Illinois Association, and then our local associations too. So again, with again, all of our thanks, we appreciate you
Thank
coming
you.
Out today, Gideon.
Thank you.